The date is Monday, August 1st, 2005. We open a work session on Senate Bill 5629A, Military Veterans Benefits. Representative Avakian.
Madam Chair, Senate Bill 5629 is part of the Military Veterans Benefits Package approved for this session. The bill appropriates money for the benefit or benefit programs that are established or improved in Senate Bill 1100. It also appropriates money to fund tuition waivers established by Senate Bill 486, which has already been signed into law. The bill provides $500,000 to the Oregon Military Department for tuition waivers to National Guard members or surviving family to attend college. This program was authorized in Senate Bill 486, which is now Chapter 200 in the Oregon Laws 2005. It also appropriates $500,000 to the Oregon Military Emergency Financial Assistance Fund for the Oregon Military Department to provide hardship grants and loans to members and immediate family of Oregon National Guard members on active duty. Payments out of this fund are other funds, and the bill provides $500,000 other fund expenditure limitation to the department to make payments from the fund. It further provides $2.6 million to the Department of Veterans Affairs for payments to counties for county veteran services offices. The budget report contains a budget note instructing the department to report to the emergency board no later than December 31st of this year on its rules for a formula distribution of the funds. Your committee recommends that Senate Bill 5629 be reported out due to pass.
Representative Avakian has recommended the bill report be reported out due pass. Is there discussion on the motion? Is there objection to the motion? Without objection, the motion is carried. Close the work session. Open a work session on Senate Bill 1100. Representative Richardson.
Madam Chair, Senate Bill 1100 is part of the Military Veterans Benefit Package approved this session. The bill provides benefit programs that were previously introduced in two other House bills. Funding for the programs in the bill is provided in Senate Bill 5629. The bill creates the Oregon Military Emergency Financial Assistance Fund for the Oregon Military Department to provide hardship grants and loans to members and immediate family of the Oregon National Guard members on active duty. It also establishes a program in the Department of Veterans Affairs to enhance and expand services provided by county veteran services offices. The -A3 amendments expands the applicability of the provisions of SB 575 to all military called up to active duty, not just Oregon National Guard members who have been called to active duty. This allows Oregon residents attending a post-secondary education institution to complete coursework or withdraw from courses without penalty if called up to active duty. SB 575 has been signed into law, and this amendment makes its provisions consistent with other provisions of the Military Veterans Benefits Package passed this legislative session. I recommend SB 1100-A be amended and reported out due pass as amended.
Representative Richardson recommends the bill be reported out due pass with the -A3 amendment. Is there discussion? Representative.
Thank you, Chair Morgan. Larry, what's the fiscal implication of adding the other sectors of the military?
Dallas Boquist. Representative Boquist.
Madam Chair, Representative Smith, there is no fiscal.
For the record,
I am State Representative Brian Boquist, 23rd House District, member of the Veterans Committee, which passed this out. This is a technical fix to verbiage in the original bill that we already passed out. And so, therefore, previously Oregon National Guard members were only covered, and because of the relating clause, when we went to fix it to cover all military members, it could not be done on the Senate side. And so it's, again, just a technical fix to an existing bill that we already passed.
And so we assume there is no fiscal impact. Senator Devlin, do you wish to testify?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just very quickly on this. It was very specifically, Senator Richard Devlin, Senate District 19, very clearly, it was simply just the relating clause. The relating clause was relating to National Guard. So we could not add reserve members to that that were called up to active duty. So we made a commitment in May that in the end of the session we would figure out some way to fix this bill. The original bill, 575, passed through both chambers, not a single no vote in any committee, not a single no vote on either House floor. We're simply coming back to correct that, this amendment has been okayed both by the President of the Senate and the Speaker of the House.
Thank you. Representative Smith, you had a follow-up question.
Thank you, Chair Morgan. Larry, explain to me. I'm not sure how this doesn't have a fiscal. When you read Section 2, it says a student at a community college who is a member of the active Oregon National Guard. That's being deleted in and then adding in military. So that's going to take a very targeted group and open it up to a very wide group.
Okay. Could we bring Dallas forward, who's the analyst for this?
Then when you go to page 2, line 1, the right to continuation scholarships and grants awarded to the student that were funded by the community college or the Oregon Student Assistance Commission. How do you take a small targeted group, now allow it to a much broader group, and knowing that they're going to have rights to continuation of scholarships and grants funded by the community college in Oregon State, how do we not have a fiscal impact?
Mr. Williams.
Yeah, Madam Chair, members of the committee, these are people who are from Dallas Wyand of Legislative Fiscal Office. These are people who are already enrolled in school, and this bill simply allows these amendments then allow them to continue their education if they're called up and not or withdraw from the classes. So they've already paid their tuition or they've already received the scholarships, and this just allows them then, if they're called up, to originally it was just National Guard. This would be for if they're in the Navy Reserve, Army Reserve, or Air Force Reserve and called up, they would be allowed then to continue or complete their coursework, maybe with an interruption, or to withdraw without penalty. So there's no additional cost to anybody because we're not adding people to classrooms at no cost, if you will. It just allows them to finish the coursework or withdraw without penalty.
Representative Smith, do you have any further questions?
It makes sense to you.
Yes.
Representative Wisner.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess to Representative Boquist or to the analyst, where do we qualify what reserves? Are we talking about reserves that are Oregon residents? Are we talking about reserves that are from Washington State serving in an Oregon unit? Or
Madam Chair, Reverend Wisnett, I guess there's two questions. First off, we are talking about reserves, so therefore we're talking about expanding this from roughly 9,000 members of the National Guard by an additional 12 to 1,500 members. So the broad expansion is only about 1,500 additional individuals qualify for this in the state of Oregon over and top the National Guard. The qualifications are twofold. One, they have to be enrolled in a community college or a state institution, already paying their fees, which they paid, and they have been mobilized under federal active duty orders in the reserve component from and serving in the state of Oregon. So what we're talking about here is an individual who paid their money to the community college, now they got mobilized, and all we're doing is allowing that particular individual to be able to come back afterwards and finish his courses by getting a credit and not being penalized for being mobilized. Again, this bill is an expansion of about 1,500 individuals in the state, that being the Marine Corps Reserve, the Army Reserve, the Coast Guard Reserve, the Air Force Reserve. In the original bill, which was 575, which of course is broader language in there, it has a better definition. I'd also, you should note on page 2 and page 3, identifies the member of the military reserve as being in the Guard or the Reserves. You'll see that on page 2, page 3.
Listening. Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Buckley, so the reservist isn't enrolled in an Oregon community college or a higher university as an in-state or out-state, so they'll continue whatever functions of that same label. That's
Madam Chair, Representative Wisnett, that's exactly correct. All we're doing is they've invested in the community college or the state system. Now they're mobilized. The only thing this bill did originally and the only thing this does is ensure that they don't lose the credit or they aren't penalized because by no choice of their own they are sent overseas. And again, the broad expansion is actually only the reserve components. So most people are familiar. I think we have 200 naval reservists in the state of Oregon. We have about 600 Army National Guard soldiers in the state of Oregon, or Army Reserve soldiers in the state of Oregon. We have about 800 Marine Corps reserves in the state of Oregon. And then we have a trickling of Air Force reserves scattered around the state.
Thank you.
Senator Devlin.
Just very briefly, Madam Chair, I'd just like to state the original intent of the bill, which was modeled after legislation in Minnesota that passed unanimously also. It's simply that National Guard and reservists are people that have normal outside lives. Their lives are disrupted being due to being called up for very good reasons, and people that are doing things that are very good for our nation and for our state. And this bill is simply just trying to get rid of one of the potential ramifications of being called up, to say that with all the ramifications that you have, at least when you come back, you'll be able to go back to school without your academic record being damaged and without being financially damaged in terms of tuition. The provisions in terms of scholarships actually only apply to the Oregon Opportunity Grant, because you can't apply it to federal aid, and you can't apply it to private scholarships either. So it only applies to the Oregon Opportunity Grant.
Further questions or comments from the members of the committee? Representative Smith.
Thank you, Chair Mark. Those dollars in the Oregon Opportunity Grant, if they're committed but not utilized in one biennium, then do they get carried over to another biennium? And then there's some mechanism that the state has for just keeping track of that.
Mm-hmm. They track it very carefully.
So if there is a fiscal, that's the fiscal. It's just to carry over funds to another biennium.
Madam Chair, Representative Smith, in that terms you're saying, yes, there's a fiscal in regards to that, but what you're going to realize is they already got the grant, or they got the scholarship.
Right.
Then they got mobilized. They already met all of the qualifications. The only thing this does says is if they're mobilized for 18 months, they don't lose the scholarship. That money is then held in abatement. It is carried forward, and you know, I guess for the record, my daughter has one of these types of scholarships, and it's like a four-year scholarship, and so even though this comes back to the legislature every 2 years, that commitment has been made.
Thank you.
Further questions or comments? Thank you very much, gentlemen. Appreciate the time that you gave us today. Is there any objection to moving Senate Bill 1100A with the -A3 amendments? Without objection, then, the motion is carried. We close the work session on Senate Bill 1100 and open a work session on House Bill 2792 relating to court security. Representative Richardson.
Madam Chair, House Bill 2792 relates to court security. The measure establishes an interest-bearing state court facility security account. The account is to be used for developing and implementing security improvement, emergency preparedness, and business continuity plans in 9 buildings that contain or are utilized by the Supreme Court, the Court of Appeals, Oregon Tax Court, or the Office of the State Court Administrator. The account is also to be used for security training for court employees, including non-appellate or circuit and justice court employees. The Oregon Judicial Department is to use any excess funds from the account to fund security improvements, emergency preparedness, and business continuity plans in circuit courts, justice courts, and municipal courts. Revenue from the account comes from a $3 to $7 increase in circuit, municipal, and justice court assessments, with the increase dependent upon the amount of the underlying fine or forfeiture. Revenue is estimated at $1.74 million for 18 months of the 05-07 biennium and $2.31 million for the 24 months of the 07-09 biennium. The measure provides for $139,671 in other funds expenditure limitation to the Oregon Judicial Department and establishes one permanent full-time executive analyst position. The department plans to appear before the 2005-07 Emergency Board with a request for other funds limitation for security audit and training funds. After the completion of the security audit, the department will develop a formal security plan for implementation during the 07-09 biennium. The only known resistance or opposition that would be to this bill would be from members of the FFMO or possibly the unorganized members of the WSCDP. The subcommittee.
What are those organizations?
Well, the FFMO is the Future Felons and Misdemeanants of Oregon, and the WSCDP is Who Says Crime Don't Pay. So, with that, the subcommittee recommends House Bill 2972 be amended and reported out to pass as amendment.
That was a very transparent setup attempt at humor, folks. But you know,
we're coming to the close.
Representative Richardson recommends the bill be reported out do pass with the -A5 amendments. Is there any pertinent discussion to the motion? Representative Hansen.
Well, Madam Chair, this is certainly a refining moment.
Or confining.
Is there any other discussion on the motion? Is there objection to the motion? Without objection, the motion is carried. We close the work session on House Bill 2792, and we will adjourn the meeting.
The economic development.
it's being limited.